here. A few years ago, I read a short news article on an event where two fishermen lost their lives because of letting their boat drift. Drifting, you know, can be a very dangerous because it can go completely unnoticed. In other words, it's usually on a drift if you are in a boat or something, because it's very relaxing and it's very easy to do that with a nice warm sun beating down on you and the nice cool water that you're surrounded with and all the serene, beautiful scenery around. So those things do happen, but there's a danger of drifting. It's not limited to the physical realm, but it is also dangerous for the physical realm. So, as you know, we compare physical to spiritual. That's the way God has shown us in His Word. That's how He teaches and preaches. And so that was exactly the way all, since I've been in the church, sermons have come across that way. And it's a blessing to be able to have that opportunity to have the correct way and following our Lord, Lord, and King of Kings on the way to speak. And so it's a blessing to have that outline for us. But we're now ending that period of time between the last great day, 2018, and Passover here, 2019, which is just 4 days away. You know, that was the testing zone of time for us. You've heard me mention that, I believe, several times in my speaking throughout the year. Here in Philippians 2, and in verse 12, we'll start with hearing God's Word speaking to us. We're going to be opening some pages in God's Word here quite a bit here today, because He is the one that should be the major speaker, and so that is what we're going to allow that to happen, I pray. Here in Ephesians 2 and verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as my presence only, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence," it says, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasures. So God gives each of us 6 months of being on our own between that last great day and the Passover just ahead of us now. You know, He is testing each of us individually to see if we can stay and obey and navigate a course that He and His Word has put us on. Knowing that we're the straight and narrow path that course is on, and that's the path that we are to be on, not the one that's wide and goes off a track. But notice with me here the warning that is given in Hebrews 2. In Hebrews 2 and in verse 1. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, that is, pay attention to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, that is, lest we should drift away from them. Very clear telling us that we need to be truly awake and not asleep, truly be alert and not let something interfere from that alertness to take us astray. But sadly, it's not uncommon for God's call to drift towards destruction. We've seen this over the years. I think all of us have witnessed such coming through the worldwide and coming through the years and the other churches that have broken away from the worldwide after that, as we happen to be one of them. Well, when you think about it, drifting is one of the easiest and most pleasant means of locomotion. In other words, it's a very easy, pleasant way of going from one place to another, so to speak. But maybe you have experienced it drifting or drafting or drifting on a raft or on an inner tube, or maybe in a boat while fishing. You may have experienced, that's what I'm saying and here in the sermon and the beginning of it here. You know, spiritual, this means of traveling can also, or can become very risky, very dangerous and deceptive. Because, like I said, you kind of get back in a relaxed atmosphere and a nice warm sun, and you're drifting down an ocean. You can get that feeling of what I'm talking about here in God's Word. We can get relaxed and thinking it's not important to be able to stay on top of things daily in our lives. But since the last great day of 2018, I ask, have you been spiritually drifting? Would you know it if you were? Something to be thinking on as we go through the sermon here today. You know, there's danger ahead for everyone, and that is everyone and anyone of us if we drift away from God and His Word of truth. As you know, the Word of truth is super important for all of us to keep our minds zeroed in on, and that's on a daily basis. You know, there are six things that we should know about drifting. One is, drifting requires no effort. Drifting requires no effort. If a person stops oaring or tracking, that is against the wind or the current, the boat or raft will become adrift. The same is true for God's people, you and me. You know, that's why Paul said in Hebrews 2 and verse 1 that we must give the most earnest heed. Pay attention and take notice so that we don't start drifting and fall into uncharted waters. You know, the second thing we should know about drifting is it is an unconscious process and makes it possible to drift unaware. In other words, like you're lazy and laid back and letting it do all the navigating while you just float along with it without paying attention where it's going. But undercurrents are often, you know, unnoticed from the surface. That is kind of the way where we live here, where Table Rock Lake is actually White River, and there is a current in the center of that lake that's running all the time, and yet you don't see it from the surface. But you take your boat out there, and you will find if you are not anchored somewhere, you'll get into that very current that's floating down the middle of that lake. So it's something that you just don't see, and that's why it's so easy to be relaxed and all of a sudden find yourself in dangerous territory. Well, the same is true in the spiritual realm. You know, many of God's called have slowly drifted away because of the undercurrent of Satan that took them off course, away from His truth. The message that He has throughout His Word, it always has truth labeled in it there in so many verses. It's very important. It's why we're trying to emphasize that as we go through a study anytime in God's Word. You know, many churches of God have gradually drifted into error, going back to keeping Sunday, keeping Christmas and Easter, eating unclean foods, buying and selling on the Sabbath, ignoring God's set-appointed holy day times. You know, many have stopped keeping much of God's laws. Those were things that drove me and my wife away from the Worldwide Church of God after being there a member for about 25 years. And then all of a sudden we started finding out the liberalism that was taking place. And it wasn't the same church that we first were called into. They were forgetting God's Word is what we're to be following. And that's what something they wanted to follow man, the traditions of men. And you know, we've spoken quite a bit about that here in the Church of God in Truth because it's something that is very predominant in the other churches. And I don't mean to tear them down because they're teaching God's Word, a lot of God's Word, and they are making people aware that they need to be examining themselves just as we need to do ourselves in these particular dates that we're in right now and the season that we're in right now. But you know that there are many ministers and members who are now ignoring God, and ignoring God in many areas. You know, many elders are teaching and practicing Jewish fables, saying whatsoever they bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and that is not at all the case of what that says. They are not God. They do not make these things up, and God's going to say they're okay. No, he is the commander in chief. He is the head, and Jesus Christ, his son, is right at his side in every aspect of what he says to do. And so it's not to be following something that some man says, as I've heard so many times from some church ministers, that they are the ones that you are to, they're binding things here on earth and that God will bind them in heaven because they've taken charge there for a few seconds or a few minutes. But there are many churches and groups of people that have gradually drifted into these errors, finding themselves far removed from the God of His Word. God of His Word, that is our teachings to us, that we very much appreciate Him opening those pages for us to do that, to glean from His message, His Word. Well, the third point, when drifting, is never upstream or against the tide. Never upstream or against the tide. You know, our faithfulness to God should be like paddling a boat upstream, or making every effort, like a swimmer might do, against the prevailing current. And many of you have probably experienced those very two things I just mentioned. I have, personally, and it is almost impossible to get out of that track. Once you're in that track that is traveling, it is a real strain to get out of it. You know, that going against the flow is something that is what we're doing every day here in God's church, in God's calling, and in God's way that He gives us to live. It is a challenge. You know, the Apostle Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1 we must constantly be adding to our faith so that we don't just drift away. Here in 2 Peter 1, and I want to start to read here in verse 5. 2 Peter 1 and in verse 5. There it says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue," meaning strength and character, "and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to the temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity," that is an agape charity, agape love. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." In other words, stumble by drifting. And that's what we're talking about here today, so we don't get caught up in that drift. You know, Peter continues to enlighten us here in chapter 3 of 2 Peter. "But to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever." We are to glorify God by our character building of His ways, following in His very footsteps that Jesus Christ laid down for us to follow, that foundation that we're to be completely standing on. You know, the moment a person stops growing spiritually, they stagnate, then start drifting, going wherever the wind or current drives them, usually back to where they came from before they were given God's truth. As we move on here to point four, is the speed of downstream always increases. You know, it seems to never fail. Danger increases with the speed of the drift. And when someone hears the noise of the waterfall ahead, it is already too late. Too late to change courses. You know, when someone loses sight of the land, it is more difficult to discern that they are drifting. You need to have something anchored out there somewhere where your eyes are seeing, so you know exactly where you are at that moment. And when someone moves further and further from the study of God's Word, they care less and less about God's truth and about what they do. They become so much more relaxed, and they don't care what they do. But the Apostle Paul knew people who would have this kind of a problem. That's why he told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, Timothy, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, don't be ashamed and put your name there. I should put my name there. You know, we cannot be ashamed of practicing and teaching and keeping God's word of truth. Point five, drifting is dangerous to others. You know, any vessel that's drifting is going to be a hazard to all the other vessels that are in the same water. You know, just as God's called, who are just drifting, will be on a crash or collision course with disaster. If we're just drifting, that means we're losing more and more of God's Holy Spirit that we one time had. You know, Paul sends a strong warning over here to God's elect in Ephesians 4 and verse 14 of being tossed around like a wave on every wind of doctrine that they read of or they come across or somebody's in a conversation maybe with them. But in Ephesians 4:14, we read there that we henceforth be no more children, that we be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They're out there. You and I know they're out there. We've had experiences already, people that have tried to attack us at times at various things. You know, when God calls us, that is, to active service, three dangers must be avoided. They are immaturity, instability, and deception, or gullibility. You know, the first one here, immaturity, are believers who never become involved in aggressive study of God's word. You know, they will never emerge as being, they will always emerge as being immature spiritual children because of their lack of studying. You know, they are undeveloped through lack of godly exercise. That godly exercise, meditating, studying, prayers, fasting, all these are things that we are being examined by God to see how we're doing on them. That 6-month period of time that we are on our own and not having God's holy days to help bring us some encouragement, that are we strong enough to do it on our own, to put those things into practice into our life, to be meditating, studying, prayers, and fasting. Here in Hebrews 5, over there it's going to tell us for the time you ought to be teachers. In Hebrews 5, and in verse 12, it says, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as having need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of the righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. You know, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The next to avoid is instability. Since Mr. Armstrong's death and the Laodicean Church, Laodicean era set in, you know, many unstable persons have become religious gypsies, running to and fro, that is, from one appealing Church of God group to another. You know, they lack steadfastness in the patience, endurance, and stability, that is, in the foundation of God's word and of truth. But let me read to you here a little example of me that I just made a note on to make that to tell you that after leaving the watered-down Worldwide Church of God, I was thinking of going over there to Gerald Fleury. He seemed to be the first one to jump out and following the name of the Philadelphia Church, trying to follow Mr. Armstrong's pattern, which God says don't follow another man's steps like that. But anyway, that was one that I wanted to, thought that I would should be going and visiting, and my wife put her foot down and controlled me at that moment and said, get my act together. And so we didn't go there. But anyway, I was very tempted to do that, as I'm sure some of you knows what I'm saying by saying that. But I ended up going to John Reitenbaugh's Church of the Great God, which I was one that helped with that name that he goes under, as come about by a meeting we had and what would be good names to choose. So I was there for about 9 months, then moved on from there because he wanted to keep the Hebrew calendar that postpones God's holy days. And after 9 months of trying to get him to look into it, a much smarter man than I will ever be, and yet he just never wanted to take the time to do that, or he was convinced he didn't have to or something. So for that is why my wife and I moved on. And as you know, today we keep God's holy days when that's on his appointed time from the Bible, not from the tradition of man. Hillel II, as you know, would be one that I would bring there to that at that point. But anyway, that is, I guess, the way I have to leave my story and move back to God's story that we're supposed to be listening here to today. Look what James said about this subject over here in James 1. In James chapter 1, there he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven from the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Syncretism, unstable in all of his ways. Want to practice some of what God says and practice some of what the man wants to say he should be practicing. Well, the third danger of avoiding is deception, gullibility. This happens when a person is carried about with every wind of doctrine. That was the thing we already read out of scriptures, mentioning that a couple of times already. You know, they become impressed with smooth sounding sermons and religious words that makes them very, very high in their study of God's word because they got scriptures memorized, and they become very impressed on many, many people by practicing that. They think that persons must be a true servant because of it. And it's pretty easy to spot those who try to be above you when talking, especially about God's word, because God's word, as you know, doesn't change, and yet they try to get you to change it. Well, if they had been keeping up with the study of God's word, you know, they would be able to see through error and deceitful hoodwinking of God's truth and be rightly dividing the word of truth, the correct way from God's word. In Isaiah, in the Old Testament, in chapter 30, Isaiah chapter 30, the Lord sends a woe to those who would not listen to his advice. Here in verse 1 in Isaiah 30, it says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Dropping down here to verse 9, this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. You know, they choose to ignore the inspired prophets of God. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Preach error. It's okay to change God's laws. I'll tell you what the laws are. Follow me. Don't follow what God says. It's okay to postpone God's holy days. What's a day or two or three off course? That doesn't hurt anything. God won't mind that. It's okay to cover up our sins. It's okay to not tithe and give tithings and offerings. It's okay to eat pork. One of the things the Church of God, a worldwide Church of God, started doing, it was okay to eat pork. It's okay to buy and sell on the Sabbath. You know the list. I've gone through them so many times speaking, as I'm sure Mr. Fleming has as well, and Mr. Martinez did as well. So none of us in the Church of God and Truth are unaware of the things I'm saying here today. But it's just a reminder, because we are to be aware of what God's Word says, and we only do that by doing it in a routine of over and over and over and over. And that's why many sermons you've heard or probably have heard before, because you don't give up speaking God's Word. You let God's Word be the Word that you go to hear every week. You know, so there are, it's okay or not choices we all have to make once called. That's a decision that's up to us individually. It's something your minister can't make for you. It's a decision you have to make for yourself. Because your God and my God is our judge. Point six. Lawlessness ends in a shipwreck. You know, a boat adrift will crash. For those who drift spiritually through their own neglect will not escape from that, from just punishment. Read with me here Jeremiah 14, what Israel was told. In Jeremiah chapter 14. And in verse 10, I want to start there. Jeremiah 14 and verse 10. There we're going to read what Israel was told. Thus saith the Lord unto the people, you have loved to wander. We've been talking about that. You have loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. He will not remember their iniquities and visit their sins. That's pretty strong words from God, saying you're not going to follow my pattern of life, build the character that I'm trying to help you build, and you want to go a different direction, because that's why you're out there wandering. You aren't going to find it, because it's all in God's Word and the very instruction book that we have on our lap. Dropping down here to verse 14, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I send them not, neither have I commanded them, neither speak unto them. They prophesy unto you false vision and divination and the things of naught and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord. Here God is going to tell us again. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and the famine shall be in this land. By word and famine shall these prophets be consumed. That doesn't sound like a very place that we want to be. That's not the path where we want to lead us. That what God tells us not to be going on that direction. You know, we need always to be on guard, proving all things. me say that one more time. We need to always be on guard, proving all things. You know, the danger of drifting is real, or there would be no need to warn against it. Again, I ask myself, and I want you to ask yourself, as I have to, am I drifting? Have I been drifting? Well, what are some common signs of drifting? Let's think about that a second here. One is when we diminish our desire to study and pray, we are drifting. I think we all agree God's Word is a unique book. It is a source of information not found anywhere else. Without God's revelation, how could we know our origin, our purpose, or our destiny? Eternal life is the destiny we need to be shooting for, working towards. You know, our Lord tells us of sin and its dreadful consequences, and how keeping God's law will save us from the dreadful consequences that's laced through the book of God's instructions to us. Recently, I've been reading Deuteronomy, Blessings and Cursings. Been a while since I've gone through those verses, and I'm glad I did, because I needed refreshing, and it did help to be refreshed in that area, because there's so much talking about the right path and taking the wrong path and what's going to happen if you take the wrong path, and what's going to happen if you take the right path, the blessings you'll receive. And God does want to provide blessings to all of us. You know, God's Word provides positive direction for living happy, useful lives, and warns those that are living unstable lives. Notice with me Psalms 1. Psalms chapter 1. And let's just read four verses there. I'll pick them up in verse 1 to 4. It says, blessed is that man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the ways of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law does he meditate on day and night. Those are positive steps we need to be taking. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit, his fruit, in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. So in contrast to a tree, the chaff has no roots, no fixed place, and it's always on the move. The same with the ungodly. They are attached to nothing. They lack stability. They resemble a tumbleweed drifting around wherever the wind happens to take it. It's a freedom not worth possessing, brethren. We don't want to be a tumbleweed. We don't want to be chaff. You know, they cannot enter to stay grounded in truth. That's what we want to do, stay grounded in truth, and feed upon God's sound doctrine. God's kingdom we pray to come. Here in verse 5, wherefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Boy, that's crystal clear. Crystal clear. Blessings and cursing chapters bring that out very clear. So when a person loses their desire to study and to live God's word, they are drifting, period. Drifting like chaff in the wind. You know, so what can be done? What can be done to help that lost desire? Well, one is sincere, earnest prayer. You know, prayer helps anchor that problem. Look now at the example of Christ here in Mark 1 and verse 35. You know, there we will see that Jesus rose early in the morning to spend time in prayer. Something should be one of the first things on our list when we get up out of bed. In Mark 1 and verse 35 it says, "And in the morning, rising up great, while before day, he," that is Christ, "went out and departed unto the solitary place and there prayed." Had some privacy with God the Father, his Father. And he's telling us we need to do the same. To have a close relationship with our Father in heaven. You know, that is the example that we need to heed. Keeping close contact with God in prayer. You know, that will put the brakes on drifting and it helps us to stay on the right course. You know, Christ speaks to us and tells us in Luke 18:1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. These are not unfamiliar scriptures to most of you here on the phone or on the internet that are hearing the sermon here today. Hearing God's word here today. You know, all these areas I spoke of are signs of drifting away from God and his thoughts and ways. You know, I want to turn our attention now to some more remedies about drifting. One is keep rowing. Turn over here to Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Spiritually speaking, this involves desire and diligence. We've already read 2 Peter 1, verse 10, that speaks of making our calling sure, an election sure. But look now with me over here to Proverbs 4. And I want to read verses 23 to 27, where we read how to make our election sure. Given some more directions straight from God, who has all of the answers. Here in Proverbs chapter 4, and starting in verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are issues of life. Put away from you forward mouth, a perverse lips put far from you. Let your eyes look upon and let your eyelids look straight before you." In other words, don't have shifty eyes. "Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established," meaning an election sure. "Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, and remove your foot from evil." The whole sermon today has been talking about that. Remove your foot from evil. From doing evil. You know, I think all of us can see clearly there is a place for retirement in the life of being called a Christian. I think the churches pretty much show that as an example. It's not a place you're going to go and just start playing strumming away on a violin or something. You know, all the apostles and the prophets set us that kind of an example. They lived to an old, ripe age. Didn't have very nice deaths when they died. You know the stories on probably every one of them. But they didn't give up. They didn't give in to Satan, nor his roaming around demons. Notice with me now Paul's fleeing on this subject here in Philippians 3. In Philippians 3. There it starts out, it says, not as though I had already obtained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that are which also I am apprehended in Christ Jesus. Paul had a very deep relationship with God and a sincere relationship. I'm reading from Ephesians 3. And right now, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, mature, that is, be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. God loves us. He's working with each one of us. He wants us in His kingdom and to become the bride of Christ, His Son. So He's teaching us how to hit that mark. That's the bullseye we should be shooting for. That's what the bullseye that Paul was shooting for. You know, Paul was keeping his eyes fixed on the goal, seeing nothing else but the objective. You know, he knew those who would win. He knew those who would win must keep the goal and the prize of God's kingdom clearly in mind, focused clearly in mind. Another remedy against drifting is watch out for the undercurrents. You know, we must always be on guard against the undercurrents or of our human nature. It pops up when you don't least expect it to. All of a sudden it's there, and how many times you've said something and you wish you could have a way of grabbing it and putting it back where it came from. You know, we have a fleshly nature which wages war against our God-given Holy Spirit. Turn, if you would, to Galatians 5. These are familiar verses to us, but they inspire our verses warning us what to do on and be on guard against. Ephesians 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and there are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Paul continues that thought in his letter to the church in Rome, over here in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and starting in the very first verse there. There is therefore now no condemnation of them to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, walking in step with God and having His Holy Spirit, we can expect to go against the tide. You will swim against Satan's powerful undercurrent. You know, this world has many tides and undercurrents to sweep us away. Popularity can make you very puffed up. Peer pressure, something you really shouldn't be doing, but peer pressure makes you feel do it. The praise from others causing pride. Modernism, keeping up with the fads. Skepticism, always questioning God's ways. Humanisms, our fleshly weaknesses. False doctrines. All these things I'm speaking here, you have in our human nature that attacks us in. Liberalism, all love and no character building. All you got to show is a lot of love. Make sure everybody sees your love. And yet your character's falling apart. Well, the worldliness which involves all of us in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, that is the fruits of the flesh. You know, Satan is the greatest enemy to all that has ever been called. His influence, powers cause neglect, indifferent, apathy, lack of interest and concern, for God's laws and soon coming government. You know, so if we're drifting along with the current majority, we are heading down the wrong path. You know, Christ gives us directions in Matthew 7 on which path we are to be taking here in Matthew 7, starting in verse 13. Matthew 7 and verse 13. Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, that is, eternal life, and a few there be that find it. So Christ is saying that to follow him would require faith, discipline, and endurance. You know, if we did not want to go with the flow or just drift along. Well, let's look at four remedies, again, drifting, if we are to have strong anchorage, because that's what we want, is a strong foundation. And that anchor is that strong foundation if you're drifting. You know, one, we must be rooted and grounded in God and in his faith and truth. Paul over here in Colossians 2 tells us, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. That means you've been baptized. Walk in him. Rooted, built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding, therefore, with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God for the blessings that he's given to you. There's not enough hours in a day to thank God and Jesus Christ for what is going on in your and my life. You know, our minds must be anchored in truth and not drifting with every wind of doctrine that comes around. We read more advice here from Paul in Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness, therefore they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know, so we must have an unshakable hope and not a hope that drifts carelessly. Don't let the wind push us around. Here in Hebrews 6, verse 17 to 19, it says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by the immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled from the refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. Good verses to study on, good verses to look at, good verses to be reminded of, because some of these verses you don't have heard in a long time. They're there. God's word is always there, but there's some things we have more favorite things we go to. But the fourth thing, we are also to be rooted and grounded in love, agape love. Here in Ephesians 3, verses 16, it says, that we would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, in the heart, from the heart, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you bring rooted and grounded in agape love. Can't be a more deeper love than that particular word's trying to express to us. You know, each of us need to ask ourselves, are we rooted and grounded? You can see there's a lot of questions that we're talking about examining ourselves on as we are coming closer and closer to Passover. Or are we drifting and going with the flow, the easy pathway? You know, the danger of drifting is real, and we would be foolish to say otherwise. We would be ignorant, arrogant, to say it could not happen to me. Well, those are words that I pray you don't ever say. I ask again here, are there signs of drifting in your life? Honestly, ask yourself that question as we are slowing down here at the ending of the sermon. Is my desire to study God's word still there? Or is it diminishing? Is my desire to be with God's people on the Sabbath not what it has been in the past? Have I lost my desire to help others understand God's truth? Have I become too much enamored by the things of this world? Is it pulling me in? Is it tugging on me? Is the current becoming swifter and swifter, faster as it moves along? You know, if any way that we must admit that we are drifting, then we need to study, pray, and fast. That is for encouragement to anchor our drifting. So in closing, I still have a little bit more here to say. We need to give earnest heed to what we have been taught, as warned by Paul in Hebrews 2 and verse 1 to 3. Hebrews 2, verses 1 to 3. I therefore, if we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them drift. And for the word spoken by angels, who is steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great of salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. You know, our salvation through Christ's sacrifice is simply too great for us to neglect and to let drift away. Well, let me express that you have a great Passover ahead, and that you truly do drink in of God's word prior to that. Go over some verses that you've got a record of, knowing that they all go with that time that we have this memorial of Passover to take. It's God has shown us to do. So I'm praying that you'll have a very meaningful Passover. And my prayers are with each and every one of you. And I and my wife pass all that kind of a message to you for to have a great Passover and days of unleavened bread. So with that, I will turn services back over to Mr. Fleming for a close.